Hello and welcome to the Overly Animated Podcast, where we take animation seriously. We provide fan-oriented and analytic discussions on a variety of animated shows, movies, and anime, currently featuring Steven Universe, Gravity Falls, Miraculous Ladybug, and Ruby. I'm Dylan Heisen, and today I'm joined by Delaney Stovall.
Hello.
Today, Delaney and I will be discussing the Volume 3 finale of Ruby.
Woo!
End of the Beginning. Which is a better title, End of the Beginning or Endgame? Endgame being
they're both terrible.
Finale.
I don't know if I can.
I think
pick
this
one.
Is they at least say end of the beginning in the episode. Endgame
this is
had
true.
Nothing to do with anything, so I think
this is fair.
Okay, Delaney and I discuss Ruby every week here on the Overly Animated Podcast. You can find us at overlyanimated.com. I mean, I guess every week that the show is on, and this is the last week, although we might have some post-season coverage we will discuss at the end. We are going to get right into this episode spoilers. I think I'm actually going to put this up on the Saturday. So it hasn't came out publicly yet. Spoilers, seriously, for everything.
Spoilers.
The screenshot is not spoilers, though, so it's fine.
Spoilers, guys. Spoilers.
Yes. Okay, let's get right into the finale. Stop listening now if you haven't seen it.
Like right now. Go away.
Go away right now. So end of the beginning. Highly anticipated. The longest episode of the show, I think, by a lot, although it's hard.
Yeah, no, it was like half an hour.
It's hard to keep track of volume one episodes because they split them into pieces. And we can get into critical quality evaluations later, but we're recording this at noon. The episode came out at 11 on Saturday. What are your initial reactions to this finale?
It was okay, I guess, to start off, best fight scenes ever. Like, holy crap. Like, the first scene is just incredible.
And it's like 30 seconds, yeah.
It's like 30 seconds, and it's like, what am I watching? Oh, I know what I'm watching. It was an Avatar fight scene. That's what I was watching. But it was so great. And then Blake didn't die. I'm so happy. Blake isn't dead.
That's your main reaction, okay.
Well, no, Ruby. Okay, so I'm sitting on my bed. My sweet mates are next door. And I'm sitting here watching Ruby go Super Saiyan or whatever. And I'm just like, oh my god, oh my god. And I actually busted out laughing. Like, I was just like, this is insanely ridiculous and I love it. And just like, I was cackling and like freaking out. Like, this episode has everything. Like, yeah, I'm very confused.
It's got
like,
everything. It's got dead Pyrrha.
It's got, I was right. I called
got,
it. I
it's
called
got it. Angel wings coming out of Ruby's eyes for no reason. Just, it's got more it's dumb so expositioning happening. It's got one arms. Yeah.
It was very pretty to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I was really excited. I'm just glad Blake didn't die. Like, in all honesty, that's the biggest thing. Blake didn't die.
Also, I was going to say, like, it's been a while since I've seen Dragon Ball Z, but I don't think Super Saiyan entails angel wings coming out of your eyes.
No, it doesn't. But, like, I don't know. There was some crazy explosion thing. I don't know what was going on.
Okay.
I didn't like how the screen was white for too long.
The only problem with that is, like, I thought my VLC screen was glitching.
Yes. It
frequently does. Yeah, so, because the show is impossible to watch. Yeah, so this is, I don't know, there's a lot happening. I've had a very minimal time to digest it, although I have seen it twice now. I've seen some initial reactions on Ruby G. My initial reactions were that the beginning was much better than I thought it'd be. And then the second half was much worse than I thought it'd be. So it's a little bit of an interesting dichotomy here. I mean, I didn't really expect them to like divide up the episode into like 8 minutes or something of like continuation of action. And then the rest being like fallout. But the problem isn't that they have like falling action at the end. The problem is that it's more mythology being added onto the series.
Yeah, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Not only does it make not a lot of sense, I think it might even make less sense than the Maiden stuff, which I already hated.
Well, the thing is, like, we can't even really say it makes less sense. It's just, like, he literally didn't say anything. Like, he just babbled at Ruby
so,
and walked away.
I'm already starting to, like, try to evaluate how this episode's going to play with regards to the rest of the season.
I will say I'm very annoyed with the little ragtag group that walked away.
We'll talk about that, yeah. Like, I think that surprised me. I mean, I'm starting to evaluate, like, how it's going to be with the rest of the season. I think this episode makes the rest of the season worse than it was because it really doesn't resolve anything we wanted resolved. And it, in fact, adds more on top of that. So I think that's not going to play well. But I think as a standalone unit, I think it's good. It's potentially one of the better episodes of the show, even though there's actively a scene which I thought was, like, actively bad, which is when Ruby's in bed, everything she says with her dad, everything she says with Crow, I think is pretty terrible. I think the highlight for me was the fight scene between Pyrrha and Cinder.
Yes.
I think might have been the best in the show, which I keep saying every week. So this at least they've gotten the fights together in the second half.
Dude, the fights have been incredible.
That 30 seconds in the beginning, like, I agree it was really good, but I it was too short.
Well, I wasn't expecting it. I think that's
Yeah,
why,
I
like,
wasn't, I was, oh, I mean, that's the state of last episode. I guess I
yeah, but
expect them to
I
shove it.
just wasn't literally expecting like the episode to start and they're fighting.
Yeah, like, they didn't want to do a full fight scene with them, but they did want to show
Yeah.
it. And I think that this middle ground was not optimal, because I think that, I mean, what we saw was great. Like, I kind of love
Yeah.
that the fact that they use the intermediary cutting to through different parts, or whatever you call that.
Yeah.
But really, the Pyrrha and Cinder fight scene compared favorably to me to Korra and Kuvira fight scene in
No,
the
that's literally what I was gonna
finale.
say, that
Yeah,
it's literally the same fight scene, and
I
it's
really,
very
I assume that they drew inspiration from that, because it's
there's
heavily
metal bending
enclosed,
and
and it's like, it's within a close an enclosed
she
space.
tackles
The
her
female
and
villain and one of the female protags. Yeah,
it
it's
was
the tackle.
great.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's one of my favorite fight scenes ever, Korra and Kuvira in the
No,
Korra
that's
series finale.
I
And
was
this
gonna
one
say
is
that a
also
minute
very
ago
good.
that it was like it's the same fight and I love
Yeah,
it.
and I thought it was excellent, like, just the sound mixing on that fight, like, compared with, it just felt so intense. And
Yeah.
I just, it's one of the best scenes the show's done. So, like, how
Yes.
bad can an episode be? I mean, there's some bad stuff here, but, like, I mean, the big thing is, like, what do we think of what they ended up doing with the Ruby Deus Ex
Yeah.
and everything that happens afterwards. And I think there's some interesting concepts. I think, I don't, the presence of the Ruby Deus, I mean, it's a new fandom. We can start with me actually calling it Deus Ex. And I
Swear.
think that it was fine. I don't know. I don't expect better from the show. Like, this is, like, one of the better uses of unexplained things, because it's, like, actually supposed to be a big, like, event, and better shows have done this, right? And
Yeah.
it's not good when they do it, but the show, like, it's better written shows, let's say. This the basically, I think, like, the first half of the finale is them trying to be Avatar, and then, like, the
Yes.
second half is, like, them trying to be Korra, like, kind of.
And then somehow it doesn't really mesh, but it works
It's
barely.
yeah, I mean, okay, so props to us for our, basically, our big, like, anticipation with the season is, like, okay, we're gonna have a reset for next season. Things, we're gonna have, like, a
And we were
dark
right.
timeline, and it was exactly right. So
A plus us.
congrats to us. Yeah, other than that, none of the predictions really happened. Last week I said, okay, who is her? It is either Raven, Summer Rose,
Her,
or
yeah.
Other, and it was Other
Other.
probably. Who is Other? We'll discuss. I think that her character design is incredible. Her voice is
Yes.
incredible.
Yes.
So high initial impressions of her. Basically, my biggest problem with this, if, like, I mean, there's, like, reactions in the relative to how to Ruby. Like, this was exciting as a fan of Ruby, as someone who knows the faults of this show. This, none of this was super unexpected. Evaluating it, like, objectively, there's too much that doesn't make sense, obviously.
Yeah.
There's too much uncertain. Basically, nothing really happens. Nothing really definitive happens. And the things that do definitively happen, specifically Pyrrha dying, don't really have a purpose. As we've kind of said all along, but Pyrrha dying here
Yeah.
especially made no sense. Nothing was resolved with the maidens. It's nonsensical and annoying within the context of the season. Everything that happens with Silver Eyes is not fulfilling, giving, and there's not enough, like, foreshadowing or explanation afterwards. It's, I think it's slightly better than the maiden stuff, because we knew that something was going to happen with Ruby. I've been saying all along, like, Ruby's going to turn the Summer Maiden, and that's not, like, exactly what happened. But, and there's also, they tried to foreshadow it in the first episode. And I did know that something, you could tell, like, something would eventually
Yeah.
happen with that, but that doesn't make it explained, right? It does, none of it
Yeah.
makes sense. So it's overall, I feel like this is a more consequential finale than what we've seen on the show.
Yes.
Potentially better than last season, although last season at least was more coherent.
Yeah, let's see. Yes, definitely. But yeah, this season definitely, I mean, I wouldn't say season, this finale definitely had more stakes, and there are, we're going to be dealing with the aftermath for quite a while.
The big problem is that they just shoved all these plot elements in our face, whether it's the maidens, whether it be, like, something happening with Osben, whether it be Cinder accumulating all this power, Pyrrha, what's going on, what's going to happen to her. It's the dragon, Grimm attacking the city, White Fang, Adam. Nothing I just mentioned was resolved fulfillingly. So
Nope.
let's keep that in perspective. I think a lot of people are going to be excited about it. There's a lot of disappointment I've seen already, maybe because of some of what I've said. But like, the show needs to be better than presenting us with 20 plot threads and resolving zero of them, basically.
Yeah.
You can do better.
Like, you can't just have pretty fight scenes and then no substance.
And this episode wanted to have substance, but it's just a lack of it's like a lack of planning before the season and what they're gonna they didn't, it's not a coherent unit at all. And just this episode, even in itself, wasn't. I know Miles and Curry can do better. It's like this was just fairly poorly written, I would say.
Yes, it's just
it's unfulfilling just with regards to our main cast.
Well, we get to the end and the cast, like, there is no Team Ruby.
Yeah,
and which, like, that's like that's fine on its own. Like, we're gonna move from there. Obviously, they're gonna get back together. Like, things are gonna happen. But like, to have a season where Team Ruby is barely present, and to, you know, Ruby's not around, like, they, and then to get to this point, it's just so unfulfilling. Like,
there were periods the season when it's like, is Ruby even our main character anymore? But yeah. But I think by the end, they did handle Ruby well within the season.
Yes,
that is the one thing. Every other character, no. Specifically, Weiss and Blake disappearing was super unfulfilling. I don't hate a journey to find our main cast. That's like a typical trope.
Yeah.
I don't like hate that idea. I don't what they're doing with Yang. I don't know. It's at best it's presented kind of neutrally here. I don't think they're doing anything groundbreaking. It's kind of just her suffering. We haven't even gotten to the substance of the overcoming yet. So I don't know.
I'm expecting they'll go a very like Korra-esque route. With
I guess, but like, are we even gonna, she's like alone. How are we even going to see her now?
Yeah, it's. I don't even.
At least this finale was like exciting, and the season was exciting, and I mean, there's even more moments to talk about. But like, this is just. I should have started with it, but this is like the This is like the ultimate representative episode of Ruby for me for what the show is right now. Like, great production, very competent. Like, direction, fights, incredible score, sound mixing, everything that's not the writing was very good. but in kind of an incoherent plot, too much expositioning, throwing too much in our face that doesn't make sense. This episode is also representative of problems with the romance on the show. We see a romance come to fruition here that nobody wanted. We see hints of another romance potentially in the future that no one wants. And we tease our two main gay ships without actually doing anything with them once again. So that's great. Great job, guys. Thanks for more potential queer baiting here. Although I wouldn't call it that quite, because I don't think the show has ever said that it's even gonna consider doing any non-het romances. Right. So we were promised a non-het character before the season started, and we have not seen them.
Yep, no evidence.
Okay, let's talk, let's go through the episode, talk specifics, talk, speculate on what's to come. Because despite all these criticisms, I was still very excited with this, and like, this is like one of the show, this is like at least hype. Like at least this was super exciting, like, fantasy series that's awesome and that I'm really into, and like stuff like that, you know. There's people who like this is their main fandom, so they wouldn't take well to the... to these types of overall criticisms, but like, this wasn't great. I don't know.
Nope.
I'm seeing support from this on Ruby G, so it's not just me. Let's talk about that. And also, I would like to mention that there's a lot of people whose response to me last week hating on the Adam scene was like, okay, but they're gonna do cool things with Adam in the future, and it'll look better looking backwards.
It
certainly does not happen in this episode, and I would say that this episode makes the Adam scene even more infuriating and awful. That's the low point of the season for sure. Not this episode, but it comes within the context of a kind of overall competent finale or something, I guess. It's hard to look back super fondly on these past two, and we have Adam unnecessarily cutting down two main characters and not appearing on the screen again and not even seeming to be the main villain afterwards, and like it's awful. Okay.
And they said that the White Fang had withdrawn.
White Fang has no relevance. Great. I am so glad that we have tons of, that's another one in the unfulfilling block.
Fantastic.
Category. Okay, so let's talk the beginning of the episode. Cinder and Ozpin, we talked about, we have like these flashes of the fight. Cinder is once again in the Avatar state, bending. Ozpin's, my impression was that Ozpin's primary...
It was like the Voldemort Dumbledore fight in Order of the Phoenix, like in the Ministry. Like, that's literally what it looks like.
That's okay. I don't remember how it looked like on the movie. I can imagine, like,
well, like Dumbledore had like the swirling water thing, like it was very similar. Okay.
I think I've read it more recently, and this does feel like what I remember it looking like in my head reading that scene. Yeah, just like, I don't know, like incoherent and like fast and stuff like that. Like, yeah. Incoherent in a bad way, but like these like superpower fights, right? These are often presented in shows and like, as you can't like show them clearly because it's like overwhelming for the perspective of the viewer. Ozpin's main qualities seem to be like he's super fast and he has a shield. That's the two things I got from this fight.
Yes.
So he's like Steven Universe and he's like Ruby in that he's fast. I don't know what's going on here. At the end she like fire bends into the shield and then it like we cut away or something or it explodes. I don't know. Our two teachers are not dead. We see that. They're evacuating, so we see kind of something happening coherently. Ruby and Weiss, I expected big things and was disappointed.
Yep.
I found you, says Weiss, I think. Yeah. So it was happening, but kind of. Blake and Yang are holding hands on collapsed on the grounds. But we like saw that in the preview and there was nothing more than that, so that's great.
Yep. Fantastic.
Blake says she's sorry. Son is talking for some reason and I don't know why he's talking. I don't care about him.
I don't know why he feels the need to exist.
I do like him much more than you, but he should.
I despise him.
He's not. He shouldn't exist here. And
I think I hate him more than John, shockingly enough.
I mean, I hate Neptune much more than both of them. So much more. We can talk about that later. So their son says there's a ship to Vale. White Fang is pulling out because of the Dragon Grim. Great. I'll find them and I'll bring them back. No, we will find them. Hooray.
Woo.
Arco scene.
Except Weiss doesn't really do anything.
Yeah, no, she doesn't. Cinder,
she's there for moral support.
She what?
She's there for moral support.
Basically, and to like put glyphs on the... so she can run up, I guess. Cinder like comes out of the elevator and I don't know where she's going. No, Pyrrha, you can't. And they have this whole thing. So here's the problem. No, not about the kiss yet. So here's the problem. John is right. Why do you have to do this, Pyrrha? There's no reason.
There really isn't.
Like, obviously you're going to lose. You're a student.
That's my thing. And like Ozpin, like as far as they know, Ozpin is dead.
Yeah.
And Pyrrha's like, I have to go. And like, no, you don't. And then at the end, she's like, do you believe in destiny? Like, okay, Pyrrha. Okay.
So I guess where they're going with the destiny thing is Pyrrha thinks she needs to die or something. I don't know. Like, that's very incoherent. Like, Pyrrha obviously has been like super down about everything towards the end. And she does feel like she needs to try to stop her for something.
Yeah, she felt like obligated.
Yeah, and she knows she's going to fail, I guess, but she does it anyway. They have the Arcos.
Which I guess we're supposed to accept as brave, but no, it's dumb.
I mean, it is. I think it is brave, but like...
Well, it's brave, but like...
It's admirable.
There was no chance of her. There's no point.
I mean, I still have a very positive perception of Pyrrha.
No, Pyrrha's the best.
Yeah. We have the Arcos kiss. So I think that this is good because they've been building it up all season. I mean, I don't like them together at all, but I think that this was like a reasonable approach to, this is probably one of the better handled plot arcs all season, I would say.
Yes, I would agree. I don't like it.
Also, this was Pyrrha kissing him, right?
Yes. That does make it better.
Yeah. And
then she shoves him in a locker.
And then my favorite part of the episode is Pyrrha shoved John into the locker like the nerd he is and sent him away.
It was so
like
good.
He deserves to be shipped
like
away.
He deserves.
That's my favorite part, though. John just gets shoved into a locker by the only one who tolerates him. It's great.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, I guess that's a good use of these dumb locker things.
I do enjoy that these lockers keep coming back in really interesting ways.
For shoving John into, yeah.
And then also, you know, Ruby like riding a locker and like...
Yeah, we've had a lot of them recently.
It's really funny.
Pyrrha goes into the tower. She metal bends up the elevator.
Yeah.
John goes to White Rose and tells them to stop her.
Breaks the scroll.
Yeah, I guess. I don't care about your phone, John. That's mm-hmm. not important. I have a plan, says Ruby. You always do, says Weiss. But do we see their plan? No. So That was the point. One of the big things that infuriates me with the show is pointless dialogue. That's just there for whatever, for no purpose. That
Their dialogue is.
was pointless. Like, if you're like, the show already writes very minimally, but it just feels, I guess, Miles slash Carrie slash Andor Carrie feel the need to insert dialogue for no reason. I have a plan, you always do. Why is that there? It doesn't mean anything. Cinder and the Dragon. We need to talk about this. Cinder,
What?
so is what's going on here? Why can Cinder control the dragon?
I don't like. She's like cajole. I don't even know. Like,
He's
what
like,
is she
shh,
doing?
this is your home now.
Like, what is she Daenerys? Like,
No, she's definitely,
I
yeah,
don't
she's
even.
definitely Khaleesi now. And
Oh my God.
I mean, they're both, she's awesome too, so I guess
It's
it
true. Like,
works,
I
but
mean,
like,
there is a comparison, but what?
there's no basis in her being able
Well,
to.
then my thing is, like, she lit her hand on fire. I was like, what was she gonna do to the dragon? Like, what was she gonna do? And then that's when Pierre comes out of the elevator.
I
Like,
thought she
what?
was like, I thought that was the beginnings of her like demonstrating control over it, but because like
I
maybe
don't know what I thought was going
fire
on.
does it, or like your response to power, I don't know. It's nonsensical. So they
Just
fight,
talking
and
to Giant Grimm.
yeah, the Grimm is, and that's involved in this. Okay, so this fight scene, I think it's the best scene of the season. What was the previous? I guess previously I thought last episode's fight scene was the
Yes.
best of the season with what's his face? I mean, he's dead now, so I forgot his name. He's instantly wiped from my memory. So,
It's silly, right? For me, right? What's
from
his name?
yeah, with and Neo was also there to end it. So I think that scene was the previous best, and this is now the best of the season. There's firebending. There's stuff with the shield. Cinder flies. Pyrrha like tackles her into a headlock, but then Cinder melts her sword, and it like snaps. And then the dragon comes in, and then boom. And they knock
Well,
the top of the tower off.
they showed, that was the part that I really thought was interesting, because they actually showed her aura going away. At least that's what I assumed that's what it meant, like the red kind of dust thing that happened.
When? Which part?
When she, I think that was then, I might be a little
When
ahead,
the
but when,
sword?
no, when she gets slammed with part of the building and like with her shield, and then like her aura goes away. Might be a little bit in a few. It might be in a few
I don't remember,
seconds,
but
like I think.
we'll see if I wrote it down. If not, I'm probably not gonna remember. Knock the top of the tower off. Then Pyrrha has these gears that she's metal bending, which was awesome. And we're saying metal bending, like, tongue in cheek, by the way. She's using her polarity symbol, Time of War. Knocks back. Then Cinder knocks them back at Pyrrha.
Yeah, that's when the shield and her aura.
Okay,
And like
I didn't
it's
notice that.
it visibly like goes away, which I thought was interesting. I would have appreciated if they've done this the entire time, so we can kind of understand. I mean, we still don't understand it, but this time it actually made sense, like what happened later, because you do see her aura vanish. At least
Interesting.
that's what I thought it. That's what it looked
I
like, and I'm
assume
assuming that's
that's
what it
what's
meant.
happening. By the way, there are people fighting me on Adam ignoring auras. So no, you're wrong. They didn't handle it. Also, there's like one of the comments was, the show never handles auras well, so don't criticize it when it handles auras, when it does again doesn't handle auras well, which I agree with. The show is like terrible with auras, but we should still criticize it.
We can criticize whatever we want, and we will
Well,
continue to
no,
do so.
you should be constant with criticism of bad blood. That's the point. Anyway, I guess a good thing that I found no major complaints about auras this time in the
They actually did it right this time.
I guess, I mean, what's right? We don't know
We
enough
don't
to know
know,
what's right,
but
so.
there was a visible difference this time, and that's and at the very least, I understood. At least that's what I think.
Okay.
That's what it looked
I
like. It
didn't
happened.
really take any impression from it, but it was cool. Back to Right Rose. Weiss puts glyphs on the tower and says, "You can do this." So, going back to the pointless dialogue before, Ruby says, "I have a plan," but now Weiss is the one doing something. So,
Like what?
yeah, I mean, I like the teamwork; it's great. Ruby starts running up the top. We have the part of the episode where I just laughed out loud at so much, which is Cinder shoots an arrow and it goes around Pyrrha's shield.
Well, no, it didn't actually go around it. It like went through it and reconfigured
It
at the end.
reconfigured, yeah. It was so funny. That was so funny. I mean, like, I don't think it's like what that is that's like the curving the bullet in that movie from like Well, 7 years
Wanted.
ago.
Ugh.
Wanted, I guess. I
That
never
movie's
saw
so
it, but like
bad. That
everyone,
movie's so
that
bad.
was like such a meme at the time or something. Like it was so ridiculous. But like, and this doesn't make any, why is she able to do this with the arrow? Maybe there's an explanation someone has, but I don't care because it was really awesome. And that being said,
Yes.
I still found it very funny.
It was
So I
funny.
don't know if that was the intended reaction, but that was, I don't, it's like, I don't know. This isn't, if you're going to insert nonsensical things, I guess it can happen during the awesome fight scenes where logic
Yes.
is already turned off a little bit. So I thought that this moment was very awesome. Then it hits Pyrrha in the leg.
Ow.
Which I don't, what's your thoughts on this? So this seems to like, this is like, it's game over for Pyrrha when she just gets hit in like the ankle. Should this have incapacitated her in the way it did?
Yes, because it hit her Achilles tendon. That's why she couldn't stand.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, no,
But like,
it's
why can't
very.
she like do something from the ground though? Like,
Well, I mean, she could have, but the thing is, like, this is very much an Achilles moment, which it's very. There's actually an interesting symbolism here to Pyrrha's design and like how we understand Pyrrha. Like, she's very much an Achilles sort of character, except she's not a total jerk like Achilles. And she like getting hit in the Achilles tendon, and like you can't move. Like, it is incredibly
I
painful.
feel like she should have done something from the ground, but I guess this was also with this is like Pyrrha's mentality at the time. Like she's like, this is what was always gonna happen, so it's time, I guess. Here's Cinder's big dialogue from the episode, and I think that this was probably a bad Cinder episode overall. I mean, it depends whether she's dead or not, but like it's she's been, we've spent 3 seasons building her up as the big bad, and then she's taken out by a Deo Ex moment, and then we have a new big bad presented. So it's not great for her.
No.
She was one of the best, kind of the best characters on the show. I mean, there's a lot to complain about with her, but at least that her role on the show has been pretty well handled, I think, overall. I mean, it's a little ridiculous how she's just like appears some places and doing
Yeah.
stuff that doesn't make any sense, but like it, you can't building her up this much and then taking her down so quickly, I think it's not good.
No. It's not like there's no payoff here.
Cinder says, "It's unfortunate you were promised power that was never truly yours, but take comfort in knowing I will use it in ways you could never truly imagine." Which I guess is okay. I kind of like that
Yep,
line. I
I
think
like it.
I think that makes sense with Cinder's mindset
Her
about
obsession with her arrows cracked me up.
with her
Like,
arrows.
she's right there. Like, you
And
could
then
just, like,
that she's
she just, she had, like, you could stab her, you could cut off her head. No,
no, she
she has to shoot an arrow through her heart. Like,
I agree.
I love Cinder.
That's pretty good. I think this line makes sense with Cinder's motivation about
It
taking
does.
power and stuff. And it's like this from Pyrrha's perspective, like what is she talking about? Promised power. Pyrrha never like wanted power that from this.
Right.
But like I guess from Cinder's perspective, it's like, oh, it's like, oh, Aspen promised you this power. So I think that kind of makes sense. Do you believe in destiny? Says Pyrrha randomly, yes, and then she arrows her. So why does she say, do you believe in destiny? Because I guess it makes sense with her mindset about like this is like what she's destined for and she's giving up now. Why does she need to say this at the last second?
Well, then I guess it's also kind of like a maybe a little dig, like maybe she thought there was still a chance, but not really.
I don't know.
I mean, well, it's interesting also given what happens like moments later.
Yeah. I guess it's supposed to be ironic
Yeah,
because
I
Cinder
guess.
thinks that this is her destiny, but in fact, it's Ruby's to overcome her with this moment. But yeah, she disintegrates, which you said is her aura disintegrating, which I guess makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I guess it looks like, I mean, it's kind of, I guess, no, I don't know. I'm assuming it's not like normal people do this. Well, I guess, I don't
I don't
know.
know.
Because, like, my thing, I guess it has to do with, like, being a hunter or huntress and, like, the dust. And, like, again,
Have
we
we
don't
seen
understand.
someone die before? I don't even remember.
I feel like we've seen something similar to this.
I mean,
I don't
Penny,
know, though.
like, she's not a person,
I
so
know.
yeah.
I don't know. It's confusing.
Then we have this Ruby moment. So she comes up and she's sad again, and Ruby watching people she si Ruby watching side characters that she cares about dying. That's been a recurrent theme here, so
Yep.
that's fun. Angel wings come out of her eyes and
This is where I started laughing. Like,
I think I
just
was laughing at this too.
cackling.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Cackling.
So, I mean, we don't need to get into it too much. There's too much of my podcasting career has been spent talking about the validity of Deus Ex Machina moments in storytelling. But it's a common fantasy trope. People write them, even though that they are inherently bad writing. People continue to write them because It's kind of this like epicness, overcoming logic type moment. It's they can make sense if they are predicated on good characterization. So like if something randomly happens to our main character and they're an awesome character, then it like maybe is cool. But even then, I mean, Aang's like one of the most awesome characters, and he has a Deus Ex Machina moment in the Avatar series finale. And this is kind of, I mean, this season has been trying to be Avatar, so we have our
We have a
Ex
rock.
Machina moment. We have a rock in the back. So I guess we should have predicted this, because literally we've been trying to be the Avatar finale for quite a while.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, I don't know. I don't like hate this. I don't like, I'm never gonna love one of these moments. And I don't think this was a particularly good one, but given that this is preceded and followed with a lack of logic in the show, it doesn't particularly stand out.
No, it's just. We just continue to add things to a mythology we still don't really understand. Like,
These moments are supposed to be big because they're the only things that don't make
Yeah,
sense. But this is
but
one of
no,
several things
there's a
that does
lot of
not make
things that
sense in
don't
this
make
episode.
sense.
So it's they don't, the show also then proceeds to try to explain it, which is not really a good idea. If you have something that's inherently doesn't make sense based on what we know, then explaining it's never really going to work. I mean, I thought it was like a cool visual,
Yeah,
and
it looked really
I do
cool.
think they've been building up Ruby being chosen. I do think
Yes.
that I've been saying that she's going to be the Summer Maiden or something for a while, and this is not what they're presenting, probably, but it's not clear how much the Maiden's to connect to what happens in this episode.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm kind of neutral on this moment, basically.
I mean, it looked really cool.
Yeah. Grimm. So what we see happening and what actually happens does not match up potentially. We see potentially the Grimm dragon disintegrating, which we know it does not do.
So that we can't, because there is the potential that Cinder isn't really gone then.
So we see Cinder also disintegrating. But if that is the Grimm dragon disintegrating, and we later learn that it is frozen, I would think, oh, Cinder is now frozen too on the tower, but they obviously have not found Cinder, or else they would have told Ruby that. So I don't know what the logic is there,
Yeah, I don't, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
but whatever. I mean, Cinder, I assume she's not gone, because that's a terrible way to write out her
Yeah.
character, but we'll see. Cinder says, "What?" Like in like a way which is intentionally trying to like say that it's like, how is this happening? Like she actually like understands what's happening. But she never anticipated it, I guess, is the impression I got from that.
I was just in awe.
What? Yeah. I don't know.
Just
Like,
telling.
good moment for Ruby, I guess, as a character.
Yes.
Bad, terrible moment for Cinder's character. And not just like it's bad thing happening to Cinder. I mean, like, this is like bad writing
Yeah,
for her character.
don't get rid of her like
Yeah.
this.
Okay. Second half of the episode. We have the white screen. It's all right. I got you, kiddo. Without the CCT, there's no point. Communication across the entire kingdom. There's no way. It's down across the entire kingdom. There's no way to contact the outside world. And Osben's still missing. This is bad, Crow. Yeah, this is bad. So I guess this is Crow and Tai Yang talking.
Yeah, I think so.
We hadn't heard Tai Yang's voice before, so
Right.
it's a little hard to tell. So the CCT is the Ruby World's version of the internet. There's a World of Remnant about it. Which the entire point was like, this is the internet in the Ruby world. But yeah, they did establish in the World of Remnant that like if it went down, you would not be able to talk to anyone. So I guess that wasn't in the show though. So it's like, it's whatever. I'm fine with them bringing that up. Whatever. Ruby's in bed. This scene I think is like quite bad. Everything that happens here.
Yes,
Tai
agree.
Yang's dialogue with her is incredibly contrived and kind of doesn't make sense given what happens. I mean, I guess it like tries to make sense, but like everything Ruby's I don't know, just like building up to like explaining Ruby's action, none of it feels natural dialogue to me. What do we think of seeing Tai Yang? Like we saw him in the beginning of the season in the distance, but here he is actually talking, and he's a lot younger than I imagined, I
No,
guess.
that's like, yeah, he's like super young. Like, he looks nothing like I imagined he'd look now.
Which I guess makes sense given how young everyone else is, but Osben looks much older, so.
Yeah.
But like there might be explanations for that.
It's true.
Osben, lots of Osben is the old man from the Maiden's Tale running around right now.
Yeah.
Which I still don't think it makes sense, but I don't know if that's where we're going. Okay, so Crow brought you home. Yang, we're just gonna have to take time to get used to things. She's too strong to let this stop her. Vale's under. It's like Tai Yang's expositioning what happens.
Yeah.
It's dumb for a new
I
character.
agree.
Vale's is under control. The thing is frozen, attracting Grimm. I did what? And then Crow comes and he's like, "Tai, please," which was good, but. Yeah, I don't know. Why can't Ruby's dad stay there too? I don't understand.
Who knows?
Ruby says she's hurt all over. You guys keep saying that. That whole line was terrible. Pyrrha, she's gone. How do they know Pyrrha's gone? If she disintegrated, that's my question.
Yeah, that's the
Yeah.
well, I think they said like they didn't find her.
So I guess they assume.
Yeah.
Ruby would be the only one that would know that she's gone.
Yeah.
The night you met Osbin, what was the first thing he said to you? Silver eyes, that's an extremely rare trait. You're special, Ruby, and not in the daddy loves a special angel way. I guess that line was good.
That line was
That's
good.
like a good Crow line.
I enjoyed that,
You're
but
special the same way your mom was. I transcribed this entire dialogue. That's good. Remnants full of legends and stories. Some of them are true, some made up, but there's one Oz told me a very long time ago, back before Huntsmen or Kingdoms. It said those with silver eyes are destined to live the life of a warrior. The Grimm are afraid, blah, 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 blah. They're the best of the best. It said that one look from a silver-eyed warrior could strike a Grimm down. It's a ridiculous story. I
like
agree. I
what?
agree.
Yes, agree. We're doing this again. This is what, like, we continue
They
doing
did this with
this.
the maidens in
Like,
fall.
they're like, this is ridiculous, but it's like, but here's the story, and we're gonna go with it. Like, you
Crow
can't.
was again, once again, Crow making fun of the maiden story as they're saying it, and it's incredibly infuriating to have one of your characters making fun of your own mythology as they say it, and it again happens here. Like,
Well, it would work if it kind of made sense, but no, if we keep make of course we're, I mean, we're gonna make fun of the mythology. If another character's making fun of the mythology, it's like, how can we take this
I
seriously?
understand the crow. You want Crow to be sassy, but like, so
Oh my god.
dumb.
It's so under
You're
like
making
just
Miles. You're
let's
making fun
undermine
of your own writing. That's the problem.
Yeah,
Like,
let's undermine the
don't
entire
okay. Really
mythology of the show.
undermining. You really need to try hard to sell exposition set in the middle of a story. Like, that's one of the hardest things to pull off, and you're undermining it immediately. So I really think that that's a mistake, and I really think you
It's
should not do that.
ridiculous.
You think I might be? Well, a giant monster is currently. Yeah. Okay. That was dumb. How did you know what Osmond said to me the night we met? All those missions I've been on, all the times I've been far off place, it's been for Osmond, but he's missing now. Something's been set in motion, but with Oz gone, I'll have to pick up where he left off.
He's literally Dumbledore right now. Like, he's literally, or like Hagrid, like, there's a storm coming, Harry. Like, what? There's no substance to anything that he's
I
saying.
mean, he's trying to like, I mean, there's some substance in this specific line, I guess, but it's so vague.
Like, that's the thing. Like, it's just so, like, everything in the show is so vague. And, like, yes, we can have vague things, but when everything is vague, it's pointless. And, like, I'm all about, like, vagueness and, like, inferring things, but this is, like, Ruby has taken this notion to the extreme.
So I think what they're trying to say here is that the point of saying this, all those missions I've been online, is that they're revealing that Crow
They've been
has been
working on something.
everything. Crow has been gone every time he's been gone. It's been doing something for Osbin, which I thought we already knew. So I don't know
Yeah.
why we need to say that again. But now he's missing, so they don't necessarily think Osbin's dead. Something's been set in motion, but with Oz gone, I'll have to pick up where I left off. So
Dumbledore's
now,
gone. We have to go get the Horcruxes.
Crow is now the Osbin, and which I feel like Ironwood should be, but I
Yeah.
guess not. Or Glinda. Both seem more qualified than Crow, to be honest. But that's
Agreed.
okay. And then he hints that he's going to Haven to try to resolve it, and Ruby like it's like I can't help you escape, but I'll tell you where we're going so that you could
Yeah.
come. But the problem with that is that she's like not trapped, so he could just take her. So
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. I guess because, like, her dad.
The end of that scene is tolerable. Everything before it is kind of awful. And I don't know. What do you think of Crow's increased role in the show now as like the leader of the good side? Like he's a new, remember, he's like a new character this
He
season.
is. Well, I think it's he's a very much kind of a Sirius Black character, which is that's literally what happened with
Yeah. I
Sirius.
mean
It's
he's serious, yeah.
he's serious. So, like, I don't like I don't hate Crow, and I think I mean I'm interested to see where we're gonna go with him. Like I don't like this isn't necessarily like a bad move. I mean we have to do this with someone like Ozpin's gone. I mean you would think it'd make more sense with like Ironwood or Glinda, but Glinda's like not even a person, and we haven't seen Ironwood in a while now. Like we're like where did he go? So I mean this I'm not like upset with it. I think it makes sense, and I'm interested to see like what's going on.
What do you think of this first? Crow comes in the room, we pan up, and then he's drinking immediately.
It's amazing.
Intention, like, okay, very blunt characterization here. So,
We're gonna have Rick plus Sirius Black in one
yeah, no,
character.
this is he's they're doing Sirius Black here. I agree, and I both
Yes,
characters I'm a
yes,
fan of. So,
yes.
I
It'll be
think they're
good.
both sympathetic in the same way. Ruby and Yang's scene.
Can we ex Okay, so I'm a little confused. So they're in the bedroom, and there are two beds, and one is very clearly yellow. So I guess they set up another room for Yang, separate from Ruby.
Oh, I don't know. I
The
guess.
second for her to recover,
I guess
because
so,
like
yeah.
in the room there is a whole other bed, and like it looked
I did
like it
not
was their
notice that.
bedroom.
Picking up on the important things, yeah.
Yep.
What do you think of they what they do with Yang? I mean, we can go through it, like.
Well, I mean, it's not.
It's kind of nothing. It's just showing the
It's
struggle
yeah.
part of
It's
it.
just like it's not. I mean, granted, it makes sense. Like we're not gonna like resolve anything, or like there's nothing to resolve, really. I mean, she
The
like.
problem is that Yang's arm getting cut off was incredibly dumb and unsatisfying last
Yes.
episode. So to see the fallout of it here is just frustrating and
Yes.
makes like it's already for one of your least well-characterized characters of the main four. So having something unfair and nonsensical happen and then.
Also afraid that we're going to use this as, you know, like a characterization thing for Yang, and like, I mean, I'm all about
Well,
characterization
this
for
is
Yang.
already like the
Oh,
most
don't have to
defining
destroy a
part of Yang's
character.
character. Like, it just happened and it's already the most defining part.
Yeah,
So.
and it's really frustrating. And then also this whole idea that she's maybe blaming Blake, and like I don't really like where this is going.
That's yeah, okay, so the writing and okay, so there's the writing in the scene is also awful. Let's talk about that. Mostly just the part where Yang starts recapping what happened is just
Yeah.
awful, awful. It's Hug, I'm glad you're okay, but I'm not. It's all gone. Oh yeah, then it's already getting into it. The school of Hanipiro and Weiss's father came for her. No one outside Vale knows what happened here. Before the tower fell, the last thing people saw was Atlas attacking innocent people and Grimm destroying the city. So here's the problem. Like Yang, it doesn't just logically make sense why Yang would be explaining this. Like I know
Yeah.
that it's happening and like the flow of action has to make some sort of sense because it happens, but like Yang should not be the one explaining what happened since like we last saw to Ruby in her state.
Yeah, like
It's
that's
just
not.
dumb. So blah blah blah. Blake ran. Son saw her go. Like okay, that I don't know, and I don't care. Sometimes bad things just happen, Ruby. You can do whatever you want. I'm just gonna lie here. I guess I like that last line a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes bad things just happen. I don't know. It's like it that's also fine, but like why is Yang explaining stuff?
Well, in context of what happened to Yang, just bad things happen is like super irritating.
Yeah.
Like,
Considering
really?
that is kind of just what happened. You just had
Yeah.
a dumb side minor very very minor character come in and just do OP things for no reasons. That's
Yeah.
and then Ruby's like, I love you at the end. So that's good.
Yes.
So that scene was bad. So
Yes.
then we have a time skip. Which so Crow says, Ruby, we're going to Haven, just follow us, basically. I mean, he
Yes.
doesn't actually say that. But then it takes Ruby several months to do that. Question mark, question mark. I guess
Well, I mean,
she's to track down the other members of Juno.
well, and recovering and stuff,
I
I would
guess they
assume.
said she was hurting. She said she was hurting earlier, although we didn't actually
Well, and
see.
this is also like a super fantasy trope, like, you know, staying kind of out of the way in the woods, kind of recovering for several months.
Yeah. Which they do in the course of a few seconds, fall to winter, Ruby and John. And it's
Oh.
like, oh no, really, the two of
No.
them? No, but then they
No.
bring in Ren and Nora, and it's much better.
It is much better,
Yeah.
but it's still not good.
Like, I talked about this, I hinted at this earlier, but the show seems to be. It's. You know, I have zero confidence that Miles is not going to write Ruby and John romance arc. I have no confidence that he would do that. Like, John is his self-insert character, and Ruby is the main character. It makes sense that Miles would want to write this. And Miles, if there's any chance you are listening, which you're not, don't write Ruby and John together.
No,
Don't do it.
please
Everyone will hate
don't.
it. Like, if you
Please, no.
Ruby is already like
for the love of all that's good.
Ruby already is kind of asexually characterized within the contents of the first three seasons. I think part of that is them like saying she's a child, so like no sexualization, and then part of it is potentially them saying that she's asexual, which I don't think that they would understand enough to write, but like like she's like a great asexual lead. Like, this is a, don't ruin this. And if you are going to ruin it, let's ruin it with a different type of progressive thing with a non-het romance. So this is just the worst, and it's with like a terrible character. It would just be the worst of all worlds here.
It would just be terrible.
And another thing you're ruining is Ruby and John kind of have a great supportive friendship happening.
Yeah.
Too. Like one
that
of
would
my
just trash everything.
One of the scenes that stands out to me, Ruby, I think in season one, John, like, I can't do this, Ruby. I'm like, nope, a bunch. Like, I remember that scene a lot. And
yeah,
it's like, don't ruin any of that with this. So it's not like they're doing it. They didn't do it here, but I have
Please
zero confidence
don't.
That they won't.
Yeah, no, it's going to happen, and we're just going to scream.
Haven's a long way to go. It's the only lead we have. And then Ren and Nora, let's get started. So now we have team, did I put this? And so Ruby R and Nora G, who's G? I thought we had Ren, Nora, John. I guess it's a J instead of a G.
Yeah, it's a J.
Is he J in the thing? And then R.
Yeah, Juniper is like J-U-N-P-R.
And then we didn't figure this out. Someone on Ruby G said Ranger for their new team.
Ranger.
Yeah, I don't know. We're not breaking up Team Ruby. We're not doing that. So
I just sigh.
Let's not do that. So okay, then we have this dialogue from new villain voiced by
who is the narrator in the very first episode?
Was she?
I'm pretty sure it's the same voice.
She is the. You're right. She is the narrator. Cool. Jen Taylor, who does video game voices, is not just an internal Rooster Teeth person, which I'm happy about. They seem to be going in that direction for all the new characters. She's apparently a prominent role in Halo, but I've not played those games. So, she's the narrator. So we don't know who this is, but I don't know if we need to read this whole thing. I did transcribe it, but a smaller, more honest. So okay, let's read it, because there's like it's like all kind of general stuff, but then there's this tough stuff specifically about Ruby. So a smaller, more honest soul. It's true that a simple spark can ignite hope, breathe fire into the hearts of the weary. The ability to derive strength from hope is undoubtedly mankind's greatest attribute, which is why I will focus all of my power to snuff it out. Right, so that's like a pretty awesome transition between.
Well, it's really funny because like the narration in the first episode is very similar, and it's very not sinister, and then we get to this. It's kind of great.
This is like this line specifically is just everything that they're trying to do right now with the show.
It's
like we've characterized this as them trying to be edgy. They've written a warning, which they again posted with this episode, content advisory warning, and this is obviously like I do think this comes from Monty's plan. So like I think this is like Monty has been trying to recreate Avatar for a while now, and this is like the transition point between wherever you think Avatar went from like purely a kids show to something more. Like it's earlier or much earlier in Avatar. Then again, there's apparently a 20 season plan for this, which they said apparently in something yesterday, which is dumb, but
God, I'll have to tell Hank.
20 season plan. Yeah. So this is like the transition point for the show. And now we're going to get darker and we have our like reset here. And so you take the narrator saying like, it's just why I'll focus all my power to snuff it out. Right. So and then it's like, oh, now we're dark and edgy and stuff, which
we're cool now.
In the past, I'm kind of made fun of them because they haven't actually done anything edgy. And I think killing Pyrrha is still not that.
No,
but
this
actually kind of is something cool.
No, this part here is really neat.
It's like if you want to be dark, do something dark. Showing Pyrrha dying was like, she's not the.
Well, the thing is, like, I mean, this sounds kind of obnoxious, but like, she faded. Like, they don't like.
Yeah.
People in this show, there isn't any blood. Yeah. Like, I mean, granted, I'm not saying it has to be gory, but like, it's really hard. Like when they just turn to dust.
Yeah. It's I don't know. it's not, it wasn't as dark as they thought it was, for sure. How does it feel knowing that all of your time and effort has been for nothing? That you're, yeah, I agree. Thank you. All of your time characterizing and storytelling really hasn't amounted to that much. Your guardians have failed you, that everything you've built will be torn down before your very eyes. Your faith in mankind was not misplaced when banded together, unified by a common enemy, they're a noticeable threat. But divide them, placed out in their minds and any semblance of power they once had flash away. Of course, they won't realize it at first. You'll kind of, and like you'll, like you, they'll kind to, I don't know, I was writing fast, their fleeting hope, their aspirations, but this is merely the first move. So you send your guardians, your huntsmen and huntresses, but when they fail and turn to, and you turn to your smaller soul, know that you send her to the same pitiful demise. This is the beginning of the end, Ozpin, and I can't wait to watch you burn. So the smaller soul, I interpreted as Ruby,
Yes.
and she's talking at Ozpin. So,
Interesting.
and then pulling up the screenshot of her, she looks kind of crazy, like not like like so weird. She's kind of like a destructive background around her. She's like flaming eyes. She has like veins, question mark. On her face, she has an interesting hairstyle. Kind of reminds me of weird reference, the like psychic clan in the Phoenix Wright series games. She like reminds me of Pearl's mother. Like three of you got that. So yeah, it's, and she's like a diamond thing on her forehead, and she's like all white.
Yeah, it's like crazy witch hunter kind of stuff going on.
So. Oh, yeah, during that, let's talk about what we see during that also quickly. We see the new foursome walking away, Tai, Yang finding the note. Yang's still there. Crow is watching them leave, I guess, or Grim into the Grim going to Beacon. Glinda's still there. Blake is hopping for roof to roof in Vale, question mark.
I don't know. I actually, I mean, I wouldn't be, I mean, they're gonna find, I mean, they're all gonna reunite. I'm not surprised if she's in Haven. That's where she's originally from, right?
I don't remember. Eventually, they're gonna like go looking for her, right? So that's this also could have just been right after it happened. We don't
I
know
thought
time-wise
Haven
what
was
happened.
like a, where all the Faunus were anyway.
I don't know. Weiss is with her dad on a plane. We see her dad for the first time. He looks a little absurd.
He looks like he's like the Monopoly man.
Ruby and the new team at her mom's grave, like the beginning of the season. The only thing I thought was, we cut from the grave right to seeing the new villain. So I was like, Summer Rose, question mark? No, I think probably not, but there's something to that,
It's just a little weird. It's a little
that they
odd.
cut right to it. Yeah. So here's my big thing right now. The big theory I'm seeing, and again, this is 1:14 on Saturday, right? So we haven't had much time to see fan theories, digest things. Here's what we know. We know that she looks very white. That is very distinctive about her, and we also know that she knows Ozpin. So, theory. I think theory number one going into the break of undetermined time will be that she is the corrupted original Winter Maiden, and that Ozpin was the original wizard from the Maiden's Tale. Why is she the Winter Maiden? She knows Ozpin again. She seems very old and powerful, and she is all white. So that is my leading theory right now.
I think since we continue to go for an Avatar Korra thing, I think I wouldn't be surprised if she turned out to just be like this being of darkness.
Well, I think, well, so if she is an original maiden, she is kind of a being, because that happened thousands of years ago.
Because I
So
was
she's like
thinking she's kind
eternal
of
for some
like,
reason.
yeah, I think she's kind of like a human embodiment of like maybe the Grimm or something like
Interesting.
kind of like Vatu, but in like person form and like maybe not an annoying kite.
Vatu in person form, that sounds awesome.
I
Let's do that.
know. I'll have to like she'll laugh and I'll just die. So I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. I think she's just kind of be something like I wouldn't be surprised if Oz like I mean we've already hinting at this and talked about it before that the potential for Ozpin being immortal, and I think there's a really good chance that Ozpin is like a being of like good or whatever, and then this is like. the being of darkness, and they like oppose each other.
I'm also seeing very, I don't think it's makes sense. I'm seeing some, is this a corrupted version of Winter, like actual Winter from the show?
That
Someone
makes
says
no sense.
Cinder died. The last person she thought of was Winter, since everything was white, and now Winter is also fall. That's why she said she's going to enjoy watching everything Osben loves burn.
I'm so confused by all of that you just said.
The first sentence made sense. This is just someone on Ruby G, on CO. So Cinder died, so she's going to transfer her powers of the Fall Maiden to whoever she thought of last. She saw white because of Ruby, so she thought of the person Winter, and then that's what it shows she transferred her power to her.
I don't think that's what happened,
No, I
but
don't
good
think so,
try.
right? But good try. Wow, that's rude. I don't know. I don't think I'm seeing anything other than R and JR now, seeing for the team name.
Ranger. I'm sure we'll have a whole episode where they're like, okay, what's her team name now?
How long until we break up this new team? One episode? Two episodes?
Can it just be right now,
Right
immediately?
away? Yeah. So I don't know. It's I don't like that our main villain is a new character. I've said several times this season that I will not like when that happens. The only thing that makes any sense with the maidens and having a world of remnants about the maidens story and having so much time spent on them for absolutely no reason, why are there four of them? We've only seen one used at all, is that this is the Winter Maiden, and we're going to see the original maidens at play somehow. So to me, that makes the most amount of sense right now, especially with
Yeah.
like how they're handling maidens.
Yes.
Post credits, we see a scene where Crow literally turns into a crow.
Yep.
Dumb,
Yep.
dumb. Oh, at some point there was a crow in. Oh, we saw a
We've seen
crow
this
watching a
before. We've
crow.
seen.
Okay, I made sense. So I said we saw crow watching them leave. We saw a crow watching them leave,
And
but then
it's
later we see
crow.
the crow turn into actual crow. So it was actually a crow watching them leave.
Yes.
So the problem with these post credit scenes is that last season's post-credit scene was completely discredited and was, I guess, a dream sequence, right? Because
Yeah.
it didn't actually happen. So Crow being an actual crow, did that act is that actually true? Oh, time will tell, I guess. But you can't take it for granted that this is real,
Yeah. Yep.
because last season's was not real. And then during the credits,
Sucking.
we hear the new song "Divide," I believe it is called,
Epic.
which was
So
really good,
good. It was
really good.
great.
Yeah.
I want it right now.
I have a screenshot of all the songs in the credits from this season. There's 10 listed, so maybe I think one or two of them are old. I think I said last podcast, "When It Falls," the song that played at the end was new, but I think it was from the season one soundtrack. But apparently, there's an instrumental version of "When It Falls" during chapter 10. It says here, whatever. But yeah, that song was really good during the credits. I do like how they handle credits at the end of seasons too, by just like doing the entire thing.
Yes, it's pretty nice.
Okay. I mean, what are last thoughts on her, like on this new villain?
She looks cool.
She does look cool.
I'm interested to see, like, I don't know. It's just we have no idea who she is, so.
It's a dumb to speculate on next season because the show is specifically trying to turn into a different show. So
Yeah.
they're going to Haven. Will they like stay at the school there? Will this just be a restart? Will we be on like this epic quest type thing? Who knows what's happening?
Yeah, there's no telling.
I hope Cinder's not dead, because that's a what a waste of a good character.
Same.
What I don't know what else. Ruby being silver-eyed.
I wonder if that, why, I don't wonder. I know it's going to come up and be really weird at some point where she like accidentally like does something crazy again.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe learn to control it. I don't
The
know.
problem is you bring up the maiden stuff, and then you bring up this alternate new mythological
Yep.
element, and it's just nonsensical. Okay. Last thoughts about this episode, Delaney.
I liked it. There's a lot of problems with it, but it was a good finale for a overall lackluster season.
Well, we can talk about that more. So, proposal next week. We're done with our Ruby coverage, except I propose that next week, and we could record this at any point between now and next weekend, we do a season wrap up for volume 3.
Sounds good.
Cool. So we spent a lot of time evaluating this episode. We said a lot of times during the season that we like, we'll see when the season finishes what happens. So now we can evaluate the season as a whole, and we can see like have it. We can see a week later what the speculation is now and what might be happening here. Let us know who you think that woman is. I mean, she's new, I guess, but like what like the circumstances surrounding her are, what you thought of the episode, what you think of Ruby do Ex Machina's. That's fun. And I don't know, what do you think was your reaction to Pierre dying?
The Arcos kiss.
If you're someone that like, do people exist that really ship that? Probably. I don't know anything else. Yeah, let us know. YouTube comments, overlyanimated.com. You can comment on the post or on Tumblr. And then that's it, I guess. I'm Del Nice, and that's Delaney Stovall, overlyanimated.com. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/overlyanimated. Thanks to our current patrons, Shana, Mitch, Cordell, Beatrice, Nate, Andy, Jamie, and Rachel, a.k.a. Hey, Now, Fever, Mitch, Cordell University, Beatrix, James, Buzz Lightyear, Mailman, Rachel Rose. Last comments on the episode. My voice is going, so.
Thank God Blake didn't die.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm very disappointed. Oh, another thing, I'm disappointed with Weiss in this episode, given her arc earlier in the season.
Same. That Blake didn't die, so I'm satisfied.
No, the thing I said I was most looking forward to the White Rose in this episode, and it didn't happen. No, so.
Well, I was really looking forward to Team Ruby, but we got Team Ranger or whatever. It's not what I wanted. The opposite of what I wanted.
I agree. Okay. So, I guess that's it. Thanks for listening, guys. We will see you potentially next week for more Ruby talk. And check out overlyanimated.com for other coverage of other shows. Overly Animated Podcast will be back on Monday for the Gravity Falls series finale. There's no Ladybug this week in the US. We'll be back on Monday. So see you then. See you guys then. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.